Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new edition of Pod by the Bay. I'm your host, Nathan Bond, joined alongside me, Seth Varnador, Robert Stieg, and we are proudly presented by the Bay Area Examiner. Fellas, we had a pre-show meeting yesterday, and then most of today we were kind of discussing, man, off-season, what do we really want to start talking about? And, you know, sometimes the Lord just blesses us with things to talk about. Sometimes not great things, but things to talk about nonetheless. I think first and foremost, we should probably start with AAC co-player of the year, AAC first team selection. I believe he was unanimous first team selection. Chris Youngblood has entered the portal from your AAC regular season conference champion men's basketball team. We kind of figured this was happening, guys. So after that Instagram post, it was kind of a foregone conclusion. But
yeah, that we talked last week. We said the Instagram post was like a Rorschach test of how positive or negative you were.
Yeah,
but I think most of us saw it as it certainly seems like he's leaving. And we talked last week. Then it made sense, you know, a guy of his skill set and size, you know, he's listed at 6'4". If he's really 6'4", and the plays the way he does, could probably make a pretty good 1 year NIL check from somebody that's a little, maybe has a easier path to get to the tournament. He's been there once. I'm sure he'd like to get back. So it seemed like he was the most logical guy to leave. Turns out he's not the only one, but he was the most logical one. And I think he's, you know, we talked about Alabama last week just because he's from Tuscaloosa, but
right.
You know, there's a few places in Alabama that could probably use a guy like him. Any team will take a guy that's like tough, defends, and can shoot 40% from three for his career. And is 6'4". So, like, he's going to be a wanted commodity, I think.
Yeah,
very much.
You know, the second round game of the NIT, I think, was probably one of his best showcase games. You know, VCU's tough. They were physical, and he was able to kind of do whatever he wanted. Now, you know, granted, you know, VCU did, obviously not a tournament team, but they were pretty freaking close to beating Duquesne in their conference tournament. So it was a pretty formidable thing. And what he's kind of built through his career kind of lends itself to, all right, I started Kennesaw. All right, I made it was a jump up to USF, but I think he's ready to kind of prove to the masses and probably prove to himself a little bit that he can play at the higher level. You know, Amir Abdur-Rahim had always kind of bragged about kind of keeping him away from the majors and getting him to go to a lower mid-major school. And I think now's the time. And you know, Amir had a very nice send-off post for Chris and another transfer out in Sultan Miguel, which we long expected to happen. But, I mean, you really can't ask more for a guy who came in to it. Terrible program, turn it around, set the foundation, and won a championship in 1 year.
Yeah.
God bless
you. I mean, that's all we could have asked for. I mean, we could have asked for, like, you know, the you know, NCAA tournament appearance too, but you know, sometimes you had it in your hand and then sometimes it's taken out of your hand and so on and so forth. But I mean, to me the tipping point for me, because again, we've dealt with years of Johnny Ford and cryptic tweets and posts and hourglasses and soon emojis and everything like that. So I take zero, nil into what they post. But when he didn't follow Jameel Reynolds after Jameel Reynolds committed to USF, I was like, yeah, he gone. It was, you know, you can have my locker. You know, maybe we'll cross paths for about 12 hours here, and then I'll be out of your hair. So, but I mean, like I said, I mean, Chris had no loyalty. I mean, took a blind leap of faith, literally, to follow Amir to USF, and it paid its dividends, man. I mean, that's all we could ever ask for.
And he's a guy I think that maybe his impact will be, if this is turns into kind of Amir being here for a while and it's a long-term program here, him coming in and help delay the foundation. Golish referred to him as like the basketball team's Byron Brown when he went and watched their practice. So he's kind of, you know, that leader. So his impact could be felt for a while from now. So even though you only got him for 1 year, if Amir sticks around, this will be kind of, it'll be a name that you remember for a long time for helping kind of right the ship here a little bit.
Yeah. And to another guy who helped kind of right the ship and was on a sinking ship last season, Salt Miguel officially puts his name in the portal. He's also going to enter the NBA draft while still maintaining eligibility, doing all of his due diligence. Saw a post that he had a Zoom call with the Oklahoma staff. So there's that. I think there's definitely a market for him. Seth, you've kind of harped on this basically since he kind of broke out. Like, if this is your chance to get paid, don't mess it up by playing another year in college.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, just looking back through his, and Steve and I were talking about this off air, you know, this year he shot 39% from three and 80% from the free throw line. His best marks previously were he shot 69% from the free throw line in 2022 and 33% from three last year. He was shooting, he shot around 20% his first two seasons of college basketball and shot 67 and 64% from the free throw line in his other 2 years of college basketball. So if this is he changed something in his mechanics, this is who he is now, great. And that could be it, right? It could be the coaching change helping me tweak something perfect. See, I think Steve said maybe he felt comfortable in his role, just allowed his natural talent to take over a little bit more. Awesome. But you do, you know, for lack of a better term, you do have the risk of turning back into a pumpkin, right? If this is a one-year aberration. So, you know, with his citizenship, he could go probably make a ton of money in Europe right now, I'd imagine, with his skill set. And this would be, if I was advising, that would be my advice, is say, test NBA waters. You know, maybe you go in and crush a couple workouts, maybe get an invite somewhere. If you're hot, which we've seen him, you know, some games he just looks like he can't miss at all. So
right,
you get the right kind of feel in a workout, man. You know, awesome. If not, you can go to Europe. You don't have the U.S. passport, so you won't count against those kind of, you know, where there's a limit on U.S. players. You'll be able to get over there and make some money. And I'm guessing, is he on a student visa?
I would assume so. Yeah.
So NIL is not a thing
for him. Not really a thing for him. Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of saw it this week. Zach Edey of Purdue really making a kind of a fuss about it. He's Canadian, so he can't make any NIL stuff. And that was kind of a conversation that we've kind of had with women's basketball here at USF, that a lot of these girls can't make NIL money to play here. So there's really no incentive other than one to play for a coach and a style and et cetera, et cetera. The thing with Selton, as much as the BCU game was like the coup d'etat for Chris Youngblood, it was the nadir of his season. I think he finished 1-for-11, 0-for-4 from three. Obviously misses the critical free throw at the end there after finally getting a shot to fall. I think he finished 2-for-12. I think the second made shot was that
his
layup.
His offensive rating was 47. His previous low on the season was 78. Yeah, or I'm sorry, 72 against Maine.
It just was not ideal for him to that be his last college game, which is maybe why he's kind of testing what's out there in the market at the college level, because there are still some very visible holes in his game. The guy can't dribble left. can't go left to save his life. If he gets aggravated quickly, he just tries to bully you down, like awful shots that can kind of crush momentum. You love him for the heat checks when he's actually hit a couple. You kind of cringe a little bit when he's, you know, 0-for-4 and he's just going to jack up a 30-footer because, hey, I was feeling it.
He's also 23, apparently.
Yeah, he's also on the older side, right? And I think you're going to probably see this in the NFL draft with Michael Penix, who's like 40. Like, he's going to get dinged for that, obviously having knees of a 40-year-old for Michael Penix Jr. also an issue. But at some point, like, it's just not worth it. I think he's older than Anthony Edwards. So, like, at what point do you kind of figure out, all right, do I have at least one more year in college where I can make some money and then go overseas and then go from there? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for him. I hope he figures it out. I hope he learns how to go left. I think that would unlock a large aspect of his game.
I think he'll be 24 before the next season tips off. So the time is right probably for him to go to strike while the old iron is hot. So
Anthony Edwards is 22, by the way.
Not getting any younger.
No. But hey, if Van Wilder can do it, why can't he? There's also probably a little note. Joey Knight of the Tampa Bay Times kind of just dropped this into a story on Monday. Kason Pryor also probably not expected back. So I guess it frees up the budget. I don't know. You expect these things to happen. You expect the kid who's 6'10", who basically was almost a walking double-double for most of conference season, to level up, and I think that's probably what he's going to do. Opens more roster spots. And the underlying thing here is with Nate Oates announcing on Monday night that he's not taking the Kentucky job, I don't feel as worried about Amir Abdur-Rahim leaving for another head coaching job. But nothing would surprise me anymore, and we can always blame SMU for this problem if it does.
Yeah, happen. It's a weird domino effect of, I think the guy, a mutual from Twitter from Dallas, said that they're like Rob Lanier, who was their coach before, whoever was before, like called a timeout, like a very bad situation in like 2021 or something like that. And that eventually led them to like a Q3 loss, and that eventually led to them missing the NCAA tournament, which led to them getting fired. And that was the small domino of Coach Calipari takes fried chicken money or frozen chicken tender money to go to Arkansas, which I have to say this as of the recording, as of the 9:27 p.m. on April 8th, hasn't happened yet.
I think it's too far gone.
Oh, it's happening. But you know, there, I think there's a lot of legal details that are going to unfold.
Have you seen the Wikipedia entry of the Chicken Man going around, that he started school at Arkansas and then transferred to USC and then finished at SMU and then took law back at Arkansas? So he basically went to every school that was involved.
Wild.
In the dominoes.
That's the conspiracy theory I believe in. But Nathan, to your point, what you're speaking to there, and I think you're referring to, is I'm not necessarily too worried about the offseason turbulence, because Amir, at least as far as the player situation, Amir's developed Selton from being a not so very good player into a pretty good player in one offseason by getting him in the right role. And you know, got a guy in Chris Youngblood who had no stars and one offer out of high school into a you know, a high major or a, excuse me, a high mid majors conference player of the year. Like, the guy can develop talent. The guy can spot it from a mile away. I'm not too worried about the player departures, who's staying, who's going, or anything like that, because that's happening everywhere.
Right.
New guys are going to come in. I mean, I literally made a post about it. It's, you know, USF gets a good player. We get super excited about it. We watch them win accolade after accolade. We panic. We're worried about them leaving. We say, no, 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 just enjoy the wins. Just enjoy the wins. And then they leave. And then, oh, no, no, no. Like, how are we going to replace their fortitude? How are we going to replace their metrics? Blah, 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 blah. And then we bring in another good player, and then we're going to repeat this cycle for the next 30 years until, you know, we all combust from the sun's explosion.
Yeah, kind of. It seems like when this stuff happens, it, like with good teams, obviously people get attached to their favorite players. I, you know, obviously it's no secret here, folks, but Sean King is my favorite football player of all time because it was during a really awesome time for the Bucks. Same with, you know, Quint Flowers, obviously transcendent player, but like that 2015 team has those kind of guys, right? This 2023 USF football team has those guys too. Like, you're going to hate it when Sean Atkins graduates or if Byron leaves, things like that. Like, that, those are the things that you kind of latch onto. You get your favorite players for a very fun team. Scott Kazmir remains my favorite baseball player ever because of his run in 2008 with the Rays. You just kind of get attached. Kids move on regardless if it's in 1 to 7 years, depending on how COVID is, the COVID rules are going forward. Who knows? But things happen. We move on.
Basketball is going to get played in the fall. Well, winter. Basketball is going to start getting played in the fall, and then in the winter, and then in the spring. And there will be players with South Florida and Tampa Bay on their chest, and we're going to be like, oh my God, how did we get so lucky to have such and such on our team? I don't know.
Carter Knox.
That's great, baby.
Yeah. No, I love how
they're going to do the pool of the other money.
Right. Yeah. These guys entering the portal was actually a salary dump.
Funds available. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the Knicks move where they trade all their assets thinking Kevin Durant's going to show up, and then he goes, no, I don't want it.
It's going to be
listen, why would Chris Youngblood announce after Calipari to Arkansas is confirmed? I mean, isn't obvious after the decommitment was announced early this morning, then later that day he gets in the portal. It's obvious, isn't it? They got to clear the cap space.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's that. I think that's the basketball for. Do you guys talk about Jose last week? I can't
remember. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I can't remember. The week I got sick last week, and it's just been an absolute blur of a week. So good. That was taken care of. Glad Jose's back. It was so real.
Yeah.
But it was pretty real. Moving on. Softball sweeps Memphis, who may be the worst softball team in human existence.
Hmm.
Was it 179 walks they've allowed this year? Was that the number?
To walks?
Walks.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. This poor girl has 104 walks. And like, there are pitchers that don't even get that in their career.
I would reckon Georgina Cork does not have 104 walks in her career.
Oh God, here we go. Let's check.
Or live on Pod by the Bay. Oh my God. Maybe she did. She pitched a lot.
She did pitch. That's the problem. She pitched a lot. Like, I'm sure I could pull like an Alabama pitcher. Actually, no, because they pitched them even more. But yeah, man, God.
Hold on,
one of the worst.
Where's the career numbers?
Oh, crotch. She played for 5 years too. Crap. Well, I can. I yeah.
That's not bad.
Well, just give it the rest of the season.
If you
yeah,
if you took out her, like if we're gonna be fair and say the 4 years since Georgina got an extra one under her belt, took out the middle one, took out 34.
Yeah,
you'd be at it.
Oh my god, that is embarrassing.
Yeah, one of the I was busy this weekend, but I chimed in, checked in on those, and I was like, I don't know why I'm checking in on this. Like, I have more faith, more blind faith that Memphis isn't going to win another softball game this season in conference. My God, are they terrible?
Yeah, it was kind of disgusting seeing those numbers kind of in real life. And then baseball sweeps first place Wichita State. And Wichita State, not bad. They were first in the American heading into the weekend. 7-3, 8-7, and then 3-2 on a walk-off bunt on Sunday.
They call that the Nathan Bond special.
God. Billy Moll. I love him so much, but he loves bunting more. And I sent a text message to someone on Sunday. I was like, man, his love for bunting is incredible. And the reply back was, well, you should have seen them hit with runners in scoring position today. I understand it.
Did he make him point for the fences like a major league? And then
yeah. Oh, God. What a scene. What a scene in a movie. But the funny thing of the entire weekend was Saturday. So Drew Brutcher with a caught a fly ball and then threw a guy out at second. And then also had a Jose Canseco defensively later in the game where a ball hits his glove and bounces over and pops over the fence for a two-run home run. It was, I think, 8-3 going into the ninth. And Wichita scores four, two of which were off an assisted Drew Brutcher two-run homer. Which,
how do they score those?
It's a home run.
Oh, it just counts as a home run, not an error.
Just counts as a home run.
Didn't that happen the same day in like a major league game where the guy bounced off his glove and went over the fence? I think it happened the exact same day.
Oh, it's shocking. Yeah,
that'd be shocking.
It did. I'm almost certain.
I hate you.
So
I hate me too. Trust me.
But yeah, wild affair. But good job by them. I don't know if this is righting the ship, but it's definitely a start in the right direction, especially after what happened Tuesday.
That was I gotta go on like a 30-second tangent on this.
Go ahead.
We went to our where my true love for season tickets, my Stras Center Broadway season tickets. We went to our show on Tuesday, and when the show started, it was 7-0 USF. And at intermission, so at about an hour and a half later, it was 19-9. And the only thing that I could say was just like, classic big league baseball, baby. That's all it is.
I mean,
it's literally whose line is it anyway? The points, everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Seeing I don't believe in midweek baseball. We're,
I don't believe it.
We just don't even count it.
Like, golly. That was remarkable stuff. Like, I saw, so Tuesday is when I started feeling really bad. And I saw that they lost to Stetson. And I was like, wow, that sucks. And then I saw how they lost to Stetson. And I was like, Billy, you're killing me, dude. But anyway, they host Bethune on Tuesday, and then they go on the road for three at Tulane this coming weekend. I guess kind of still on the back burner. Spring football, spring games on Saturday.
Yeah. Eh.
We're not going to see anything.
All right. Will we be there?
We'll be there.
We'll be there, right?
We'll be there because I'm contractually obligated to be there. I'm contractually obligated to drink 3 to 5 beers and watch our walk-ons play for 75% of the game.
So you know, we call that a good time.
That is going to be a good time.
Do you want to go?
Yeah. It's not going to be streamed anywhere, so it's only going to be able to watch it.
Got to make it work.
Okay. I'll see. I was supposed to go to WikiWatch this weekend, and I saw that it was this weekend. I was like, oh, maybe.
It's at 2 o'clock. So it's not a nighttime game. So
it's going to be really hot.
Yeah. Actually, it's supposed to rain this week, so it might actually not be. No, it's going to be miserable. what am I saying? Yeah. I mean, the thing that I'm looking forward to the most in this spring game, in the most optimistic way possible, is that we all just have a good time. And we all, you know, go to the stadium and people show up at, like, you know, 1 o'clock, and they get in there and we have awkward encounters with everyone. And, you know, if you see us, you know, please say hello, the whole thing. I promise none of us are mean. And then, you know, 2:30 will roll around and we'll really be in the swing of it where, you know, we have a walk on QB Ryan Bolduc taking snaps, and you know, people are being turned away at the gate. We know that's going to happen. Capacity crowd apparently broke the Ticketmaster link this morning when they went on sale. And then we're going to overreact to a bunch of guys hitting the transfer portal after. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. It's called college football. That's
college football, baby. I mean,
high of 81, low of 59. That sounds like
the thing that I'm most curious about is if the most recent transfer, Jack Wilty, is gonna be able to play. Because didn't they say, like, guys who transfer for, like, the basketball things, guys that transfer are, like, immediately eligible and they can, like, play and practice and blah blah. Like, are there any rules against?
He's gonna be enrolled.
It's enroll first. Oh, okay, so he'll probably be on the sideline wearing jersey and shorts.
Maybe. So
we'll see. I think that's it for now. Track and field's really good, but we've got a mailbag Ponderosa to record, so we're going to go do that. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Discord, subscribe to the Patreon, help us provide the best coverage possible.
Three away from 300 in the Discord.
Let's get it.
We're almost there.
Oh, maybe the 300th person could get a cool hat.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't want to get struck by lightning or anything.
The ghost of, not the ghost, well, the voice of Michael Kelly rains down on us.
Oh, well.
We'll see.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to go record this. Be safe. Be healthy. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls. Go Bulls.